The Time Traveler. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with Meditation. The Time Traveler. All of us have had aspirations to know what the future brings. We want to know what happens when people die. What happens when we leave this mortal coil and move on to other climes that we are not familiar with. Death has always been an exciting and an interesting experience. Not really to those who experience it, but to those who experience it. We think that death is something that comes because we don't expect it, we don't want it, and it happens to us. Well, that's not really the case. The case is that all of us, at the time of death, commit suicide. We all decide to die. Now, every being could decide to live, if they chose, at the time of death. And you say, well, boy, Herb, you're sticking your nose in it there. You're really putting your foot right in your mouth there. That's something that is not going to be making you a lot of friends. It's not going to make you a lot of people who want to listen to you, because death is not suicide. Death is something we have no control over. Death is something that happens to us because it just happens to us because it just happens. And there's nothing we can do about it. If anyone were able to halt death, if anyone were able to not experience death, they would certainly want to do it. Well, that's not true. We all want to die many, many, many times during our life. We all want to escape this rat race, we call it. We want to escape this experience of life because it's just not pleasing to us. And then other times we are very happy here and we want to live forever. Our body is healthy, our mind is healthy, our world is healthy, our attitudes are healthy. We live in a very positive world, and we want to live forever. Oh my goodness, do we want to live forever? And then there are times when our moods are down, when our issues are down, when life's just not taking the right turn for us, and we want to end it all. In Japan, they have this speed rail train that they have, and there are quite a few suicides every year as people have a downturn for one thing or another. Well, when you have millions and millions and millions and billions of people living in a small area as Japan has, and when you have the railroad trains, they're so effectively able to put people away when they stop wanting to live anymore, they jump and boop, they're gone. Now, we don't know about all the other ways that people commit suicide, and we're certainly not going to spend a lot of time on it this morning, but the thing is, there are many, many, many other ways that people commit suicide. One of the biggest ways people commit suicide is when they stop breathing. Yes, when they stop breathing. Many people just say, okay, I'm going to die. Many people say, I've had enough. Many people, again, we're not going to go into that aspect because that's not where we're at. If you want to read about that, just read the life stories of thousands and millions of people. Okay, now, what is it that I believe? What is it that I think happens? Well, I think that our spirit, our being, goes on forever. We are immortal. Many philosophers and theologians have told us this for forever. They've always told us that we are immortal, that our spirit is immortal, that we are immortal. Now, science also tells us that our body is our cloak, our body is our coat, our body is our exterior experience. And the body can be changed quite readily, quite easily, and science is learning how to replace all parts of the body. Just like you put new tires on a car, they put a new heart in a man. Just like you put new oil filters in the car, they put new livers and lungs and other things in the lungs. Well, why not? Many, many things are being done like that. Now, the day will come when they just cut off the head and put it on a new body. And you say, well, my goodness sakes, that's quite an undertaking. Well, not really. When they can take a cut-off arm and sew it back on and have it function again, it's quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. But think, we are truly time travelers. We are traveling in the infinity of timelessness of time. And we like to think that we're living on this dimension or another dimension. We're living here or there. Now, what does a time traveler do? A time traveler is one conscious of what they are experiencing. Now, a slight definition of this might be the out-of-body experience, where we think that we are leaving our body. We can look back and see our body lying on the bed, and we sort of lift off. And when we lift off, we travel around the world, go wherever we want to go. That's a very common experience, more common than we really realize, but that's okay. Now, another experience similar to that is when we sleep. And when we sleep, our body and our being sort of disconnect. We have a silver cord, we call it, the golden cord. We have that thread between our body and our consciousness. And our consciousness goes wandering off throughout the universe, having great experiences. And we come back from these great experiences and we think to ourselves, that was crazy, that was strange, that was unusual. Well, that's because we were not really consciously aware of what we were experiencing. People think that they have to die because their body is no longer useful to them. And other people say, well, not that necessarily so. Our body really ceases to enjoy our being when we cease to love it. If we were to say to our body every single day as we wake up and as we start our day and as we conclude our day, I like me, I like me, I like me. And during the day we say, I like me, I like me, I like me, we would find that we would really enjoy being in our body. We'd enjoy being in this body, which is our vehicle for utilizing this experience here on Earth. Now, could we be in several bodies at the same time? Well, we are actually in an infinite number of bodies all at the same time, because we are one as the allness. Now, in the absolute consciousness and absolute thinking, this is a rather broad and a rather bold way of looking at life. But think about it. Think about it. We are actually doing many, many things at once. When you go to the theater and you watch actors acting, you see them acting. It is not uncommon for people to think of themselves as whatever actor they like to think of themselves. They think of themselves as the hussy, the woman who is out hustling relationships. Or they think of themselves as the CEO, the top echelon of that particular field, and they think, I could do it even better than that. I've got ideas that person never dreamed about. Or they think of themselves as a playboy, or they think of themselves as a prince or princess. They think of themselves as so many things. They think of themselves as a ballerina, dancing on their toes. Very positive, very wonderful. They've never done it in their life, but they think of themselves doing that. We translate our personality into many forms and into many experiences, and we think nothing about it. We think it is the most common thing in the world, and it is. We read a book, and we are the characters of the book. We see a movie, we are the characters of the movie. We see life experiences, we see a person driving the race car around the track, and we think to ourselves, I could do that. We see ourselves, rah, rah. Children are very excellent at this. Children are very excellent at seeing themselves in the role of various things that please and delight them. They want to be an astronaut. They want to be a fireman. They want to be all of these exciting occupations. And these exciting occupations are far from exciting. They may be exciting for a certain short period of time during which a fireman attends to a fire. But all the rest of the time, the fireman is training himself, is maintaining himself and maintaining his vehicles, maintaining his clothing, maintaining his world. And also, he has a family on the side, perhaps. And he maintains his family and maintains their relationship. You see, life and its thrilling moments are only short, a very short period. Death is a very short period. Because the transition in death is merely an instantaneous movement of our consciousness from one physical form to another physical form, or to no form at all. We have the ability to do anything we want to do. We can be nothing and we can be the allness. We can be an individual and we can be not. Now, in your lifetime, if you've always admired some profession or some field or some person, when you seek to move along, you may very well move into the consciousness of that being. You may very well move into the consciousness of that being and be that being, because all beings are one. Yes, all experiences are one. You say, well, each one of us is different, each one of us is unique, each one of us is special. No. It is true, we play the game that each one of us is special. But let us look at the game of chess, for instance. The game of chess has many ramifications to it. It's complex and simple, depending on what level of awareness of the game you want to play. Now, if you want to play the game of chess at a very complex awareness, you'll have very few contestants playing with you. Very few people who play the very complex game of chess, because that does not interest a lot of people. A lot of people just are dilettantes at playing the game of chess, and they play just for the fun of it, just for the leisure time of it. If they win, lose, or draw, it makes no difference to them. It really doesn't matter to them at all. We watch a lot of movies that show with Hollywood's magic how people can be magicians, how people can be genies, and how they can be I Dream of Genie, you know, how they can be the nose twitcher, how they can be the great magicians of the world. And you think to yourself, my goodness sakes, how can they do that? Well, you do that yourself. When you watch a movie, you watch anyone pretending or playing a game, you enter into it with them. How often have you stood on the sidelines and you watched a sports game? And if the sports game happened to have your child in the sport, how often were you with your entire body urging them on, squeezing your muscles and urging them with all the energy within you, with all the power within you, with all the enthusiasm within you, for them to win, for them to leap the hurdles, for them to run the race? Your whole body exercised with that contestant, with your child or your candidate for the winning race. Oh yes, that's why people enjoy sporting games so much. As watchers and not as participants, they like to be in the audience. They like to be the armchair active people. They would never think of going out and playing football themselves, but they tell the football players how to play. And as they hear about the football players getting special uniforms that protect them, and they have special helmets that protect them, they think to themselves, boy, in the old days they didn't do that. Well, that's true. In the old days it was rough, but in the old days they weren't quite as speedy and quite as deadly as they are today, as far as the game goes. Yes? All of these things, we enter into them. But we're entering into them from our place in the bleachers, where we are on the sidelines. We are not really in the game. And yet, if someone were to say, end game, we'd wake up with a start and we'd say, oh, why is that? Why is that? And we were in the game and somebody called the game and the game was over. And we thought, why is the game over? Why has the game stopped? Why is the game over? We think to ourselves, my goodness, that's not right. Well, we were there. We were a time traveler. We were in an out-of-body experience. And we are in these out-of-body experiences probably far more often than we realize it. We are time traveling far more often than we realize it. When a person gets on a boat and goes over the horizon, he's gone from our vision, our experience. He has taken another vehicle, the boat, and disappeared from our sight. He gets on an airplane, he flies away. He drives his car, he walks out the door, and he's in a different world. Because when he's in the house or in our office or whatever, he's in our world, and we're talking to him, and we're living with him. And the moment he takes his time travel trip and walks out the door, he's gone. The moment the mother sends the children off to school, and she starts doing her chores at home or whatever things she's involved in, she's at a different journey. She's at a different world. She's not thinking about her children while she's cleaning the house or while she's being at her office or while she's doing any of the wonderful things that she might be involved in. She's only thinking about what she's involved in. So, in fact, she has taken a journey. She has taken a time trip. She's a time traveler moving in another dimension. It's not a surprising thing, but it's something that most of us are surprised about. Can you and I take time journeys and know about it? Yes, we do, and we are, and we do often. Can you and I die and then decide not to die? People do that all the time. They come back from a coma. They come back from having their heart being stopped. They come back from what's called a death experience. And always when they come back, they report of some strange activity going on in their world that they had been aware of and conscious of. And that strange activity is quite interesting. You talk to a person about that strange activity immediately when they come out of their experience, and they are well aware of what they're doing, and they tell you about it. If there's someone there to tell, if there's no one there to tell, surely they forget it. But if they come out and there's someone there to tell, they tell them, and they tell them exactly what they were doing. And the people say, oh my goodness sakes, how interesting. And so they write it down. And then the people are visited again, and they said, tell me more about that experience. What experience is that? Well, where you went out of your body and you came back. Oh. You see, you are recalling it for them. Because they of themselves would soon forget it. It's like a child. When a child has a spanking and has been naughty and is being punished for something, after it's over, he soon forgets it. He doesn't dwell upon it because that's not a pleasant experience. The child is given ice cream or candy for having been a good person, and he remembers that if I do something good, I'll get something good. He doesn't always think of ice cream and candy. He doesn't always think of something to please his palate. He merely knows that positive responses in the world bring about positive responses for him. We take these out-of-body journeys. We take these time-traveling journeys, and we do it so often, and we forget just as quickly as we take them. And if someone is not there to chronicle it, if someone is not there to write it down and keep a record of it for us, or be alert to what's going on, or if we, in our awareness, do not write it down immediately and have it in our book of memories because we are our journal keepers, if we don't do it, we soon forget it. The only reason a child remembers a childhood tragedy is because it's been brought up to him time and time again by his parents or his world or the experiences that go on in the world. Because we forget the past. We forget all of these things. We are living in the now dimension. And if in our physical dimension, if in this physical life that we have, we can be so unaware of what was happening short time ago, if we don't remember, and remembering is really something quite important, if we don't remember, think of how you are on other dimensions. Think of how you are on your time traveling between all the dimensions in time and space. And there is no time and space. And you're traveling, you're in them right now. And if you were to just think to yourself, oh, I'm on XYZ, and instantly you're on XYZ. And on XYZ, you're doing what XYZ calls for. And then you think at that moment, whoops, I better get back. And you don't think of back. I think, you start thinking of PDQ, where you had been. And then you're back at PDQ. And you don't go to XYZ again. The next time you go on a journey, you go to XRN. And the numbers are infinite. The possibilities are infinite. The areas are infinite where your time travel would take you, where your dimensions of beingness exist. And these all are there. They're there for you. And so, in truth, we cannot commit suicide, even though we leave our body behind, and that's called suicide by life. We cannot commit suicide because our bodies are never destroyed. They may be disoriented, just like all the cells of our body are not lost. The atoms of our body can never be created and destroyed, and the atoms make up the cells, and the cells make up our body. We merely create new, create different, create ideal. When a man has amnesia and he comes back into life after having been unconscious for a period of time, and he doesn't remember his past, it's the same body that went through all those experiences. It's the same man that went through all those experiences, the same being. He still has the same home, the same family, the same life. But he's not aware that those are his. He's not antagonistic to it, because it is rather natural that he be there. And if he's told that they're his, he doesn't say, oh, it can't be so. He says, oh, okay. And so he equates himself into that most unusual experience. And we don't think a thing about it. Now, if we could have amnesia take a reversal, and he all of a sudden remembers who he is, and then he'll say, well, what did I do when I came back after not remembering who I was? And then he'd be told, well, you'll find that his natural dispositions for life, for living, for acting, for being, would be pretty much all the same. And he would be pretty much the same type of person. Travel in time and out-of-body experiences, death, all of these fascinating subjects are ones that keep us on our toes most of the time. They keep us interested in life. They keep us interested in what's going on. But just remember, we are the allness, we are the infinity, and rather than be incredulous about the possibilities of what we can and do, enter into them. Experience them, be excited by them, delight in them. And as you delight in them and are experienced in them and think that they're just so wonderful, you'll be surprised what you remember. Because our mind is not in our brain. Our mind is the universal mind. And our remembrance is in the universal allness. And though our physical brain might use all sorts of games to hide itself from what our past is, or our future is, or our present is, it's all there. And we have the opportunity to know about it if we want. So, have fun again. I'll join you another time for this meditation on time travel. And remember, we each are time travelers, having the time of our life enjoying ourselves beyond anything we could ever imagine. I love you. I love you. I love you.